7 o'clock. Good morning, Pyle. Jim along with the Buckeye Boy. Hope you had a great weekend. Hope you enjoyed a day off yesterday. But still took the time to remember what Martin Luther King Jr. Day is about. So, we had our first ever Monday night football playoff game last night. And the Rams taking care of business against Arizona.
Was it a good one?
Yeah, Rams finished strong down the stretch. The Cardinals this season, after that incredible start. We had them as the best team in the NFL for a while in pole dancing.
Yeah.
And total collapse at the end of the season. Kyler Murray did not look good last night. Couple of picks. Vonnie Football played well last night.
I've heard a lot this morning. Does Cliff Kingsbury get whacked?
It's a possibility.
Yeah, because his playbook is a mile wide, but it's an inch deep.
Yeah.
It's not very creative. They had Hopkins running, only two or three different routes all night? It's like he's got a hitch, a go, and a 10-yard
out. I mean, what
out.
Is this? Georgia Tech back in the day when they were running the triple option and the passing trees, you have three routes that you run?
You have one of the more dynamically, athletically gifted, I think that's not even a phrase, but I just made it up.
I know what you're saying,
in Kyler Murray, and you don't get him out of the pocket until, mid-third? The offensive line can't block the Rams pass rush. And you just have him stand in there, to prove to everybody that, now we're going to make him a pocket passer. I just don't get it. And it was nice that the playoffs, the night games, didn't have to stay up too late because they were really
out outcomes were pretty
decided
much
early.
Decided by the halftime.
Yeah. I mean, the Chiefs took a little bit to get going, but they scored 5 touchdowns in 11 minutes.
You knew they were going to be fine. You knew they were going to be fine. Yeah, you look at last night. I mean, Kyler Murray, 19 of 34, 137, couple of picks. James Conner found the end zone, but he only had 4 carries for 19 yards. They couldn't get anything going with the ground game against Donald and Vaughn and that Rams defense last night. So, your biggest takeaways, we're not referring to it as Super Wild Card Weekend. It's Grande Wild Card Weekend.
El Grande Weekend, or Wild Card Weekend El Grande, right?
Yeah, well, we just go with Grande. I know. We're Americanizing it, I guess, if you will.
Sure.
Yeah. We could go Wild Card Weekend El Grande, but
that's all right. That's a mouthful. I screwed it up the first time around.
Grande Wild Card Weekend just rolls off the tongue a little better.
It does.
Yeah. So, your impressions from the weekend. Look, I'm no fan of the Raiders. They got screwed on that call. On the whistle.
Yes. No, absolutely.
They got screwed. You know, is that the reason they lost? Well, it didn't help. But
you have a touchdown that shouldn't have counted for the other team, and you lose by 6. Yeah, I mean, kind of.
I mean, but I always hated to, say that because there's there are opportunities within a game for you to win the game.
Right.
Right? You know what I'm saying?
But if they hold them to a field goal right there, and the Raiders are at where they're at the end of the game,
it's a different story.
Field goal sends it to overtime. And then we saw what happens in overtime so many times this season.
Yeah.
Their kicker's pretty good. Did Carlson.
Carlson with the big kick beat the Chargers in OT. And
they got screwed. And then they came out yesterday and shafted Mike Mayock, too. I don't care if he knows about getting fired privately. That's a bad look for that team to come out and be like, we're interviewing these candidates for the GM position. You have one.
You have one currently on your staff.
You fire him publicly. That's a bad look for Mark Davis.
Yeah, it was not a good weekend.
I don't know how to run daddy's company look.
Yeah, and look, thrilled for the Bengals. Snapped a 31-year playoff drought as far as winning a football game. I know you don't care, but
can't beat the Browns, but they can win in the playoffs.
You revel in their misery. I understand that, but they did something that they haven't done in 31 years, and that's won a playoff game. And
how is it the Browns' most recent playoff win and last playoff win happened within that window for the Bengals?
Right.
It's got to suck for them.
The Raiders, 19-year streak without winning a playoff game.
I remember, from Super Saturday. I don't think they've won since the Super Bowl.
Yeah, so it's been a long time since they had won a playoff game, and something had to give, and the Bengals with the benefit of a bad call, and they sat down and they looked at it and listened to it, and you could clearly hear the whistle.
Yeah.
It was not even up for debate, and they still screwed it up.
And then breaking absolutely no news Sunday. This crew's not going to official anymore.
We're benching them.
Yeah.
And, thanks for the news flash, Tom Brokaw.
That's exactly what that was.
Yeah. Yeah, that was not a good look.
No.
And then for the Cowboys to whine about what happened at the end of the game with spotting the ball.
Yeah.
Your center doesn't get to spot the ball.
No.
I'm sorry. That's not how it works.
And that's not the first time they screwed up in that game. Remember the fake punt?
Yeah.
And then they left the punt team out there for fit.
Well,
what
and then
you
got Mike McCarthy. Well, we were trying to throw him a little curveball there by running a fake, keeping the punt team on for first down. No, you weren't. You guys were totally incompetent.
The curveball's not supposed to fool you. That's
yeah.
what it looked like.
We're just trying to throw him out of, whack.
Look, no. Now I get
catch him off guard with running a fake punt. I get what on first down after you just ran a fake punt. But
if the last 20 seconds of the play clock didn't develop the way it did, I would buy that. But as soon as Dak Prescott gets 5 yards on the field and everybody's like, "What are we doing?" There's no way you planned that, because you have the Niners on their heels after the fake punt, which was a great call.
It was a great call.
And then you leave the punt team on the field. That's fine, because the Niners can't substitute. You have a bunch of
but you
punt
gotta
coverage
be,
guys.
But
you got to know
get,
what you're doing.
You got to be have your offense okay. Run a fake punt here, Dak. You guys be ready,
right,
to run on the field.
But as soon as they come on the field, the Niners have to change. So I understand why you want to keep the punt return, because they're not defenders,
right?
They're just punt coverage guys. But you got to know what you're doing on the next play if you're going to do that. You can't just stand there and be like, okay. What do we can't punt now. It's first down. I mean, we can, but that's stupid. Well, okay, let's
switch. They have to let him substitute, but you still could have caught them. You hurry your offense on the field. Mm-hmm. You catch them off guard or have a here's what we're going to run. It's going to be a running play.
Yeah. Turn your personal protector into a quarterback under the center and run it.
And just run the ball.
Just run
a little quarterback sneak. A little quarterback run play on first down.
What it struck me as is, well, that worked.
Wow, what do we
do
now?
What do we do now?
What do we do now? Either get your offense on the field to take advantage of confusion. Yeah, they'll substitute, but they're going to be kind of back on their heels a little bit. Or you already have a predetermined play you're going to run.
And run it with the punt team, so the punt coverage team has to stay out there. And then once you run guys on with like 8 seconds, that referee has to let the defense substitute. That's why you can't snap the ball. And so the Cowboys were screwing themselves from like mid third quarter.
Yeah. And then the end of the game where the official has to spot the ball.
Yeah. They have to spot it and mark it ready for play, which sometimes all it includes is just touching it. But that's why you see guys run the ball to the official. Why are you handing it to your center? Your center has nothing to do with that.
He can't do that
until the official spots the ball. We practice that. Apparently not very well. Practice for success, right? Practice so you know how to do it right. How are they practicing it all year?
You're just like, what the hell is going on? I mean, the umpire has to be the one that spots the ball.
Mm-hmm.
You can't just say, okay, you center spot it.
Yep.
That's where it looks like that he got to. And then
Dak Prescott postgame went from "that's a good dude" to "that's a dumb thing to say."
We're gonna say that I've got that for four down territory.
Yeah, that's all I'm gonna.
What was he thinking? Saying what he said, and then he had a chance at the end of the press conference, right?
Yeah,
kind of go. Hey, look,
up.
I'm emotional. I shouldn't have said that. That was an inappropriate comment to make about the officiating crew and what happened to them at the end of the game. I'm sorry about that. I don't condone that kind of stuff. I was emotional. No, he's kind of doubled down on it. And I don't feel bad for the Cowboys at all. I don't.
How do you score 7 points in 3 quarters? with Nick Bosa or whichever Bosa is in San Francisco. I can't remember. One of the Bosa brothers. It'd be Nick. He left mid-second quarter with a concussion, and he looked out of it coming off the field. He looked like, I know I'm in America somewhere. I'm not entirely certain.
I believe I'm in the continental United States, but I'm not exactly sure which state I'm in right now.
He's looking around Cowboy Stadium, seeing a ton of stars, and not just the logo.
And look, for Broncos fans, every time you watch Kyle Shanahan, you need to sit there and go, what could have been?
Is that like the prom date you said no to winning Miss America?
Probably so. Something like that's a good analogy.
Man.
I mean, what could have been for Denver?
Look how pretty that is.
Look where Denver could be right now with Kyle Shanahan.
Anybody surprised that the Niners beat them? I picked the Niners.
You know, I was going to, but I thought, I was sucked in enough. They're at home. Niners will be tough, but the Cowboys will find a way to get it done. The narrative will change for Dallas.
Right.
And I was sucked into believing that. There's part of me that thought, it's not going to be easy against the Niners. They run the ball well. Debo Samuel's such a tough matchup. Garoppolo's not brilliant, but he's competent. He's steady. He might be Denver's quarterback in 2022. Who knows what happens there? But there was a feeling that there was a gnawing feeling I had that I should have taken the Niners.
Mm-hmm.
And good for you that you did, because they were the team that was the better prepared, better coached football team. Mike McCarthy, for those that complained about him in Green Bay, this is the stuff that drove them crazy. And like we talked about, being ill prepared on the fake punt. I've just not known. Hey, it worked. What do we do now? Oh.
But your lack of preparedness for your own trick play. Mind-bogglingly stupid.
It's a play you ran and executed. It wasn't the other way around. It wasn't like the Niners ran a fake punt and it caught you off guard.
How much shine does this take off Kellen Moore?
Quite a bit, I would think.
Me. I mean, if I'm the Broncos, I may be canceling that interview. Be like,
yeah, they'll talk to him because they're going to be in Dallas. But
no thanks.
Because they'll talk to Quinn and to Kellen Moore today.
Do they have Quinn waiting out in the hallway, like in one of those poorly built little mini couches, just sitting there with his stack of papers and his dry erase marker with Kellen Moore in there answering questions like, I don't know what happened.
I don't know. I don't want to happen. I don't know what happened. That wasn't the way it was supposed to go.
Right. I think if you
were the top offense in the league and you basically got shut down by the Niners.
Yeah. You could lose both of those coordinators unless you get rid of Mike McCarthy. Then you can keep probably one of them.
Yeah.
You know, if I'm Dan Quinn and I'm like, Cowboys, Broncos.
Get to be head coach.
Right.
Get to run the show again.
Much easier division in Dallas to get through.
Yeah.
You know, game planning for Taylor Heinicke and Daniel Jones is a little bit easier than Patrick Mahomes and Justin Herbert and Derek Carr.
But do you want to stay there with the dysfunction moving forward? Unless they're going to offer you the head coaching job.
That's what I mean.
Yeah.
If I'm Dan Quinn and they fire Mike McCarthy, I'm like, stay.
Which we're not hearing, which I wouldn't blame him in that case. I thought that's where you're going, but I wasn't entirely sure.
Of Mike McCarthy.
Yeah.
I don't know what's going on with him, but remember when it was like, man, Mike McCarthy's a great coach in Green Bay, and then he looked back, he's like,
He wasn't that good.
And then you look at this happened, and all of his, you think Vic Fangio's bad at clock management, game management. Mike McCarthy is atrocious. That team could have won three extra games this year.
Vic never had that happen to him where they had something as awful as the fake punt that works and then not knowing what to do on the next play. He can criticize Vic for a lot of things.
Yeah.
It never rose or dropped to that level of stupidity.
Vic also had the buffer that he could come out and say, well, our special teams coordinator planned that. And then Broncos country would be like,
oh,
yeah, Tom McMahon is an idiot.
Well, because he is an idiot.
But, you know, it just, his clock management is horrendous. Worst in the league.
And then you had like I said, took the Chiefs a little while to get going, but they got going. They got going.
Yeah.
You had Buffalo just absolutely destroying the Patriots.
First team in NFL history to not turn the ball over, not punt, and not attempt a field goal.
Yeah, they had a kneel down.
Yeah.
By the end of the first half, they had a kneel down. That was it.
But man alive, that game was not close.
Well, it was funny what Allen said with the first touchdown pass. He was just trying to throw it away. It was a Dawson Knox that caught it.
And
he's like, hey, what do you know? I threw it where he could catch it.
Yeah.
Yay me.
Had a fat guy touchdown there. Fat guy touchdown in Kansas City.
Yeah.
Or as Travis Kelce calls it, a thick six.
I'll ask this question about the Broncos interviewees.
Mm-hmm.
Why is Brian Daboll's name not on that list? Why wouldn't you talk to him? Because they didn't request an interview with him.
I don't know if they could have.
Because
they're playing, right?
They could still request when he's available.
Yeah.
Because they request interviews for guys that, well, Dallas is playing. They request interviews with Quinn and Kellen Moore.
That's a good point.
I mean, why wouldn't you talk to him? I don't get that.
Going to talk to guys that have way bigger chicken and egg questions than Brian Daboll?
Yeah, which there are those guys on this list.
Right. The Hacketts, the Bienemies.
Glenn. Why you talk to Aaron Glenn before you talk to Brian Daboll? I don't get it.
Available is not necessarily a checkmark in his favor.
Right.
Guys that are unavailable because their teams are still playing halfway into January, that's a little bit more of a positive than you'd think.
Here's the thing, too, that you just brought up about what if the Cowboys fire McCarthy? And there's been all these rumors that the Broncos, that Dan Quinn's are going to be their guy.
Mm-hmm.
Despite all these other interviews and everything, that Dan Quinn is the guy George Payton wants.
Yeah. The hard eyes emoji for Dan.
How does that expedite your offer to him?
Yeah.
That, whoa, we better lock him down before the Cowboys offer him a gig.
Do you try to lock him down before the Cowboys, David Coley, Mike McCarthy, right?
Yeah.
3 or 4 days later, then fire him, which was not cool. But
I felt bad for David Coley. I did. First time, he was like 65, first time to be head coach. Had a lot of obstacles thrown in his direction. No Deshaun Watson.
Their best player was sidelined. Their second best player is a Cardinal.
Yeah.
And he still goes out and matches the win total from the year before.
Yeah.
Was the rookie quarterback.
Yeah. I thought that was really unfair.
He got, man, that was bad.
He got jobbed. All right. So your impressions, your thoughts from Grande Wildcard Weekend. Text or call us today. Chick-fil-A Breakfast Team phone line 970-242-1340. Jim along with the Buckeye Boy from the Bozarth Miller Chevrolet Buick Studios.
I want to put to bed something that I've heard from no less than 3 national football people. Stop talking about how tired you are that you watched 3 games on Sunday. Just stop. Oh, that was exhausting. It's 3 games. You do it every week.
So what?
There were 2 games on Saturday, 3 on Sunday. Andrew Siciliano, I'm exhausted. How do you guys do it all the time? We sit on the couch and watch football. How do you get tired?
I don't get that one. So there were, I didn't say it. So people are actually whining about.
I don't think they were whining, but they're like, man, how does the regular fan do it? Just sit there like and watch football all day.
Well,
we do it for 4 months.
Wait a minute. You work for NFL Network. You should be watching this stuff.
You do Red Zone. How are you so tired watching 3 games? It's like, man.
I don't get it.
Stop.
I don't get it.
It's like, oh, the Browns defense is pretty good. Stop looking at the stat sheet. Watch the games. They're not.
Ugh.
Just like, I'm so tired. Oh, stop.
3 games, dude. Come on.
You didn't even have to stick around for the end of the night game either.
No kidding. You could halftime, you could have checked out and been just fine.
Like, they score 2 touchdowns, and you're like, all right, I can go to bed now.
I'll look at the box score, read the recap, and I'll be good.
Yeah, I'm watching Euphoria the rest of the way tonight. That's fine.
Really?
No. I know some people that are into it, though.
I've
not one of
them. Not watched a single second of it, to be honest. I know the show.
Mm-hmm. I know the chick from Spider-Man's in there, I think, or something. I don't know.
Zendaya.
Yes.
Tom Holland's girlfriend.
Yep.
Yes. Yes.
And Peter Parker's girlfriend.
Well, yes. And Pete. Yeah.
Yeah.
Both cinematic end in real life. Yes. All right, 7:20. Let's quickly get to
what's happening.
All right, can you cue the music for me? The Avalanche extended the franchise best home winning streak to 14 straight games after beating Minnesota 4-3 in a shootout Monday in Denver. Mikko Rantanen scored the only goal in the shootout, and the Avs' Alex Newhook says it was a huge win for Colorado.
You know, every game here is important for us, especially those division games. And, you know, I thought we came out really strong. We had a really good first and kind of set the tone for the rest of the game. You know, I think we were able to weather a bit of their storm there in the third. And, you know, to come back after they scored one, kind of reset and be able to get the job done in the shootout, big win for us and move forward here.
Colorado leads the Western Conference with a 25-8-3 record. They're now 3-0 in shootouts this season. Last night was the first ever Monday Night Football playoff game. And you had two NFC West rivals colliding last night. The Los Angeles Rams playing host to the Arizona Cardinals. And it was all Rams last night. Scored 14 in the second quarter to pull away after scoring a touchdown in the first. 34-11, your final last night. As Matthew Stafford, very efficient night. 13-17, 202, a couple of touchdown passes. One to Cooper Kupp, the other to Odell Beckham Jr., who has been reborn in a Rams uniform. Sonny Michel had 58 yards. Stafford also had a rushing touchdown last night as well. Not a good night for Kyler Murray. 137 yards, a couple of interceptions, as the Rams will now move on to take on TB12 and the Buccaneers. So Rams at Buccaneers Sunday, 11 o'clock our time for that one. That'll be followed by Kansas City hosting the Buffalo Bills. Saturday it all begins in the divisional round with Cincinnati at Tennessee, followed by San Francisco at Green Bay. Coverage starts Saturday at 2 o'clock on the Team Sports Network. Starts at 10:30 on Sunday morning on the team. So
one of the four losses for Tampa Bay was the Rams.
So a big rematch with TB12 and Matthew Stafford.
It was in L.A. I understand that, but still.
Still,
Rams are pretty dangerous. They look pretty good last night.
Yeah, they played really well last night. Colorado Mesa basketball player Trevor Baskin is the RMAC Offensive Player of the Week. Baskin scored 20 or more points in three straight games after a 24-point night and an overtime loss to Metro State and a 22-point effort and a win over Colorado Christian. Baskin's averaging over 13 points per game as the Mavs play at Colorado Mines Friday and Regis Saturday. The team's CMU Sports Network will have Friday's games with the games at Regis on 1100 KNZZ. On Saturday.
That dude was ridiculous over the weekend.
Trevor's building off the Black Hill State game, a career best 33 in that one.
Yeah, what, 24-10, four blocks, handful of steals, couple of assists.
Yeah, I would say that young Mr. Baskin has figured some things out, no doubt about
39
that.
39 minutes Friday night.
The Fruit of Monument and Montrose basketball teams open Southwestern League play tonight when the Wildcats host the Indians. The Fruit of Monument girls are 11-2 and defending league champions with Montrose 8-5. Wildcats coach Michael Wells says the Indians always pose one of the biggest tests in the league.
It's never an easy one when you play them, and I have a ton of respect for him and what he does with that group. And for us to get an opportunity to kick off a title defense, you know, against them, it'll be a great test for us, and I think really set the tone for, you know, what that Southwestern League race is going to look like.
The Montrose boys are ranked 4th and 4, and they head into tonight's game as defending SWL champions and state championship runner-ups from last season. The Indians are 13-0 and face a 5-7 Wildcats team. First-year Fruita coach Jake Aguirre says his team's excited to get SWL play underway.
You know, they're going to have to come into our place and play our boys at our best, hopefully. And so starting the league out with them is a great way to start for us. You know, kind of gives us a look at where we're going to be. So, you know, let's get it going. We just want to see them. We want to play them.
Also tonight, the Grand Junction girls and boys basketball teams host the Central Warriors. The Tiger girls open Southwestern League play with a 51-12 loss at Durango. The Central girls are 10-1. They're ranked 10th in the ChassandOut.com 4A poll as they face a one-win Grand Junction team. Warriors coach Mary Doan says she knows veteran coach Sam Provenza will have his team ready.
We're too young to look back past anybody, you know. And we have to be able to bring our A game every time we step on the court and continue to play that way for 32 minutes, or, I mean, we'll get beat.
Grand Junction boys open league play with a 53-48 win at Durango to move to 10-5 and 1-0 in the SWL. Tigers coach Isaac Madison will not be on the bench tonight due to COVID, so assistant Dan Smalls will take over as the interim coach. Central enters the game at 4-7. Coverage of the Warriors at Grand Junction is part of her full court coverage, which includes Montrose at Fruita Monument, Pregame starts at 5. Girls tip it at 5:30, followed by the boys at 7 o'clock. And full court coverage is brought to you by Ken Richards, State Farm Insurance. And that's
what's happening.
All right, coming up a little bit, Wyatt Thompson will join us, our college football and basketball insider. So we'll talk a little college hoops with Wyatt Thompson in just a little bit. So text or call us today, Chick-fil-A Breakfast Team phone line. Got some thoughts about Grande Wildcard Weekend. Also, let's play hypotheticals. What if the Cowboys fire Mike McCarthy and the Broncos want Dan Quinn, who they interviewed today? Do they try to nail down Dan Quinn right away, or do they need to say, look, we're going to interview everybody else we have scheduled. If we lose him, we lose him. We feel like there are good enough candidates here that we need to talk to everybody. If you got some thoughts on that today, Chick-fil-A Breakfast Team phone line, 970-242-1340. All right, we'll take a break. We'll come back. Avs with a big win yesterday on Martin Luther King Jr. Day. Knocking off the Wild. We'll talk about that next on the Jim Davis Show on the Team Sports Network.
They're a lot of fun.
The Jim Davis Show.
They're idiots.
Say what?
On Colorado's sports leader, the Team.
Welcome back. Jim along with the Buckeye Boy from the Bozarth Miller Chevrolet Buick Studios. Got some thoughts about what you saw last weekend from Grande Wildcard Weekend, which wrapped up last night with the first ever Monday Night Football wildcard game. L.A. Rams getting it done defensively. Von Miller, a big game last night. Matthew Stafford, a couple of touchdown passes, touchdown run to lead the Rams past Arizona last night. I got one from Jamie this morning. My takeaway, looking at the matchups and the teams that could win it all, is that the NFL's in great shape right now.
They have some good teams out there.
Certainly the Niners, what they did was a surprise. I don't think it was a shock. I think it was a surprise. They went into Dallas and did what they did. Look, the Chiefs, after a slow start, after stretches this year, they got off to a slow start this season. They're playing really well, and they face a big test with Buffalo, which looked really good against the Patriots. Remember, a lot of us thought, hey, the Patriots, with that defense, that running game, they could make a run in the postseason, and Buffalo took care of that.
Yeah, six teams won at least 12 games in the regular season this year. There's pretty good teams left, and five of them are still alive.
Rams look like they're hitting their stride right now, and have the last half of the season when they made the commitment to start running the ball and really utilizing Sony Michel and taking the pressure off Stafford. And I think for Sean McVay, it was like, I got this shiny new toy. I want to use it as much as possible.
Right. I finally got an engine that can fit in my car.
Right.
And
but he forgot though that you want to take pressure off of him and you want to play to your strength, which is still your defense.
Right.
And running the football and those things are things that are going to help out that defense. And there's still going to be, like we saw last night, plenty of opportunities for Matthew Stafford to be a big factor in the football game.
But look at teams that couldn't run the ball complementarily enough to support their passing game. Arizona couldn't really run the ball.
Philadelphia.
James Conner had great numbers, but it's not like he had an outstanding time running the ball. Philadelphia didn't have a passing game to complement their running game.
But they didn't run the ball in
the playoff game. And when you get behind like they did,
then you're really in trouble.
You're in a bad spot. You know,
Jalen Hurts didn't look very good, and they can't run the ball. He's not effective.
Right.
He's just not. He's not the stage of his career where you can have him drop back and throw it 30 times and win a football game.
Right. You know, Arizona, James Conner, 15 touchdowns, that's great. 750 yards, that's not great. And Dallas, they couldn't run the ball. You know, they ran the ball at times this season, but they weren't a consistent running team.
Right.
Buffalo can run the ball. That's because Josh Allen is great when he can.
And Josh Allen can throw it when they struggle to run the ball. Singletary can't get something going, or Allen can't.
Right.
That's the difference between him and Jalen Hurts. Jalen Hurts can't drop back and throw the football. No. He just can't drop back and make plays. It's got to be set up with their run. At this stage of his career, can't say I refuse to say that he can't develop, because I think he can. But at this stage of his career, they have to run play action boots, waggles for him to for it to work.
He's and, got a good base. I mean, he took a team to the playoffs. You know?
So, I mean, there's some good things there to work with. But their inability to run the football against the Bucs came back to hurt them.
Kansas City found their running game.
Yeah.
With Jerick McKinnon, of all people.
Yeah, who? Go figure.
I saw that. I'm like, really? Who knew he was on their team?
All right, so if you got some thoughts about Grande Wildcard Weekend and looking ahead to this weekend as well with the two games on Saturday and three games on Sunday.
Oh, my God. How could we
get through three games on Sunday again?
That's why we had the day off yesterday because it was so exhausting.
Jeez. Come on, man. Come on, national writers. National sports pundits. It was three games. They play three games. There's three games you can watch.
Every Sunday.
Every single Sunday.
It's the exact same start times, too, except maybe a 2 o'clock kickoff instead of 2:30.
All right, 7:34. Avalanche getting the win yesterday, taking down the their division rivals, the Minnesota Wild, at Ball Arena. They won it in the shootout yesterday. And for the Avalanche, look, it was another impressive performance. They've now won 14 straight games at home. And you have to go back to the Washington Capitals, who won 15 straight in 2017, the last team to do that. So it's not been a long, long time ago, but it's been a couple of years. The Avs now lead the Western Conference 25-8-3. And here's a number that also it's a franchise record for the Avalanche. It's their best record to start at a 37-game stretch. One game better than last year, by the way, when they set the franchise record.
So
they're 8-0-1 in January. It's their longest point streak of the season.
They have two more points than St. Louis and three games in hand. They have two more points than Nashville and four games in hand. It is ridiculous what they are doing. Now, don't win the President's Trophy. Let someone else win that.
Don't do that because we know how that went last year.
Florida, Tampa, Rangers, anybody, whatever. Anybody else, go ahead and win the President's Trophy. That's fine. But when you look at it, the Jets have 34 games played and the Flames. That's the lowest in the West. Then you have a handful of teams at 35. The Avs only have 36 games played, whereas Nashville's got 40, Vegas has 40, Kings 39, Ducks 41, Sharks 40. And these are all teams that they're ahead. They're ahead of everybody in the Western Conference, and they have games in hand on most of them.
So yesterday, Nathan McKinnon, he scored a goal, the go-ahead goal, 3:32 left in regulation. Mm-hmm. Initially, it was ruled a save. It was not ruled a goal. And then they reversed that after video review. Unfortunately, the Wild would score. They'd tie it up, and they would go to overtime in the shootout. But here's McKinnon on the goal that ended up finally being a goal for Nathan McKinnon.
Yeah, I didn't know if they were going to count it or not. I don't know the ruling. Technically, obviously it's under his foot, but since you can't, I don't know if you could see it from their angle. I couldn't see it on the Jumbotron, whatever. But yeah, I didn't know if it was going to count. Obviously, really happy it did. Just trying to stay either way. Keep going kind of thing, but obviously you're really hoping.
Career point 600. Yep. Good thing it counted.
Yeah, big, big moment for Nathan McKinnon getting his 600th point. Mikko Rantanen scored the Avs' first goal in what became a 2-0 lead, and then he scored the only goal in the three-round shootout. And then Pavel Francouz, he came off the bench for Darcy Kuemper in the second. He stopped all three shots in the shootout. Here's Francouz on his approach when it went into extra.
I'm just trying to, calm down and trying to tell myself to be patient and read the situation.
All right, so Pavel Francouz, nice job coming off the bench to get the Avalanche the win yesterday in the shootout. Avalanche are now 3-0 in shootouts, by the way, and they've won three of their past four games that have gone to overtime, gone to the shootout. So the Avalanche getting the win against Central Division rival Minnesota yesterday at Ball Arena. All right, 7:37, Jim along with the Buckeye Boy from the Bozarth Miller Chevrolet Buick Studios, the most trusted name in automobiles. Wyatt Thompson will join us coming up in a couple of minutes. Time right now for Soundcheck.
Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? I've just been handed an urgent and horrifying news story, and I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
Last night, I thought you were going to intro me there.
No, I'm just like, I just thought, let you talk.
All right. Sure. I mean, that we can do that. Last night was the Monday Night Football wild card game, also a Manning cast weekend. And they had, among others, The Rock, who had an idea for The Sheriff. Good eyebrow.
Peyton really misses getting sacked. And he was too embarrassed to ask you, so I said I'd take one for the team and ask you, can we get Peyton in the ring? He really wants to get suplexed by, like, a defensive lineman. Can we make that happen?
Well, here's the thing. I think that we'll take it one step further. I think instead of Peyton getting suplexed by a defensive lineman, how about we just get him in the ring, and it's not a defensive lineman. It's the most electrifying defensive lineman that never started at University of Miami, and that would be me. And I'm going to hook Peyton in for a rock bottom, and I will drive Peyton into the mat, and I will give him a nice neck adjustment.
I love the uncomfortable laughter because Rock knew immediately that this is probably not the best thing to say, and I'm not sure how he's going to take this, but I'm bigger than him anyway, so I'm going to give him a neck adjustment.
Yeah.
And Peyton's kind of dead face of,
well,
that wasn't that funny.
Peyton's like, wait a minute, I had 4 neck surgeries,
right,
dude.
Peyton's like, hang on.
Wait a minute. I had spinal stenosis. I had 4 neck surgeries. Leave my neck alone.
And I think the Rock kind of, he noticed like, that this isn't going to go over well. So the nervous laughter of, I'm already here, but everybody loves me anyway.
So much for asking Peyton and Eli to give up
be
on
the
trying.
Next Hobbs and Shaw.
Well, and also give up on buying the Broncos to buy a franchise in his XFL.
I mean, he might be able to get Eli and Coop.
Yeah. Well, it's supposed to be the Manning family is involved,
really,
in this ownership thing. Not just Peyton, that it's the Manning family was what I've read.
I mean, they can own an XFL team too, right? I mean, Stan Kroenke can own NBA and NHL
teams.
That's
a lot. I don't think there's anything against it. I think there's just financially, I just don't think that's probably going to happen for the Manning family.
Peyton's kid can buy an XFL team, can't he? He probably's got enough money laying around a trust somewhere.
Maybe so. I don't know what The Rock plans on selling those for.
You could probably get one a little bit cheaper than an NFL team.
Quite a bit cheaper. I would say quite a bit cheaper.
You'd probably buy the entire league if you could buy an NFL team.
Well, look, The Rock did, right?
Yeah.
So got that at cut rate bargain basement
price. Rock bottom
price. Rock bottom. Okay. 740. Wyatt Thompson, our college football and basketball insider, joins us next on The Jim Davis Show.
Cuckoo, loony, and crazy.
The Jim Davis Show on Colorado sports leader, The Team. Talking college football with The Team's insider, Wyatt Thompson, on The Jim Davis Show.
We'll mix in a little hardwood along with gridiron conversation with Wyatt Thompson, voice of Kansas State Wildcats, our college football and basketball insider on the Chick-fil-A Breakfast Team phone line. Good morning, Wyatt.
Well, good morning, sir. How are you today?
I'm doing well. And let's start out with a little kind of wrap up on college football. And
okay.
Of course, we had the college football management committee that they were supposed to present a proposal to university presidents in regard to maybe a 6, maybe an 8, maybe a 12-team college football playoff. That was put on hold. They could not come to any kind of consensus on that. And it sure sounds like there are those, like the ACC, that have some real concerns about this plan. Just were you surprised at all that, because we didn't get a chance to really talk about it. We talked mostly about the national championship game. Are you surprised they slammed on the brakes on expanding the playoffs?
Not necessarily. I would say maybe the best answer would be a little bit, but I think there is so much concern about some of the other major issues. I think it's maybe more towards the forefront, and I think this is just me, but I think when you look at name, image, likeness, and you look at the upcoming grant of rights, that I think is to some, not all, but to some, every bit as important or more so than expanding the playoffs at this point. I think there were a lot of people that were surprised by the comments coming out of the commissioner of the ACC, but I was one that was thinking that it's going to be a little while before this happens, I think. I just do.
I know that I read an article that in Alabama, they've had more restrictive name, image, likeness as far as that state and how they address that particular issue. And they plan on changing that because all of a sudden Alabama and Auburn are seeing, wait a minute, other states with far more loose, shall we say, or less restrictive NIL, that they're taking advantage of that. And particularly Alabama's going, wait a minute, we can't be behind anybody else in this kind of thing. We can't be behind in this kind of arms race. And so there is the plan now to get that changed at the state level in Alabama to address NIL and what they feel like is a shortcoming in part in that state to be able to take full advantage of it.
And I'll be honest with you, you said a lot there. I think this is probably going to happen in a ton of states before it's all said and done. Maybe I'm overplaying that a little bit, but I just think it's so wild out there that somewhere down the line there has to be some common sense that comes in here and says, you know, we all live by rules. There needs to be some type of guideline to follow, don't you think? I mean, this is getting... And I'll be honest, I felt like from the beginning that this was gonna be the way it played out, that it's just more wild and more wild and more wild, and the absolute elite of college football will benefit even more so, and the others not so much, and they're going to fall behind.
Wyatt Thompson, our college football and basketball insider, joins us every Tuesday on the Jim Davis Show on the Team Sports Network. AP Top 25 Men's College Basketball poll is out. Gonzaga is now number one, followed by Auburn, Arizona, Purdue, Baylor. They're now number five. They've dropped a couple of games now in a row, Wyatt.
Yeah.
What's going on with the Baylor Bears?
Well, I predicted you would ask about that. I don't know if there is an easy answer. In watching the game with Oklahoma State, I would tell you that after the first loss, I think they lost a little bit of confidence, but they also lost Jeremy Sohan, which I think is a pretty big deal. I don't know if you've seen much of him yet, but he's a very unique talent, kind of a slashing wing who can shoot it and drive and do all of those kind of things. I thought, in all honesty, in watching the game with Oklahoma State, they didn't have a lot of juice. They came out with very little, if any, energy. Oklahoma State took it to them. I think they panicked a little bit, started to do some one-on-one things. We hadn't seen Baylor basketball do that in quite some time. I think they went, I think I read in their notes, 305 days between losses when they were first beaten by Tech. So I think there is a little confidence thing. The question now is it a little hiccup, or is this going to be something that permeates for a little while here? I don't know what the right answer is, but I would say most teams, when you lose a couple of games like that, okay. But this is a little different for them. It's been a while, and I'm anxious to see how they respond, honestly.
Yeah, that aura of invincibility, which they've had,
yes,
certainly took a big hit with the back-to-back losses. And let's give Texas Tech their due credit. They were the first ones to get it done, and then it was Oklahoma State. And that was a game where Baylor had the double-digit lead early on. It looked like they were going to cruise in this game, and then Tech went on that 17-2 run that kind of spanned the end of the first half into the and ended up going into the second half as well. That was the game that obviously started this two-game losing streak. But Baylor had, you know, they were kind of reeling a little bit because they had a game, at least in the first half, looked like it was going to be an easy victory for them.
Right. Yeah, I think it all started with that because they jumped on Tech early, and after, you know, getting to that 14-15 point lead, to be honest with you, Tech was the better team the rest of the way, you know, for some 30 plus minutes. And then of course we saw Tech Saturday in Manhattan and beat them. So it shows you that the league is strong. It shows you that, you know, from top to bottom, and a lot of these coaches, I know a lot of everybody always says this kind of stuff, but I do think there's more balance in the league this year than at any time that I've been covering it. It just doesn't make a whole lot of sense when you've got a team that was as hot as Tech was and K-State at 0-4, where K-State would you know, win the game like that. But that, I think that's what this league is going to be. Maybe the exception will be Kansas. I think they're starting to turn the corner a little bit. We have Texas here in Austin tonight. defensively, they're very, very good. Offensively, I think they're still kind of finding themselves. So everybody has a ward or two, but the league is pretty darn good. Hope that answers the question, because I just don't – with Baylor, I love their talent. And normally they're free and easy and loose, and when they are a hard handle. And we see them a week from tonight. We've got – think about this little short gauntlet for a couple of weeks. Texas Tech at home, Texas on the road, Kansas at home, then at Baylor, and then we go to Ole Miss for the Big 12 SEC Challenge. That's
wow.
That's a challenge, wouldn't you say?
No kidding. That's a murderer's row of really, really good basketball teams, great basketball teams in that stretch for your Wildcats coming up. Wyatt Thompson, voice of the Kansas State Wildcats, our college football and basketball insider, joining us. Mentioned Gonzaga's bad. They're number one. Baylor drops down to five after the back-to-back losses. When you look at the top 10 right now, which team in that group do you feel like is more pretender than actual contender in the top 10 right now, the AP top 25?
Wow, great question. Well, if you do the AP top 10, I would say Houston, but only because they're minus a couple of really, really good players. I mean, if you've seen them, you would know that. I mean, they're still 15-2, and they'll probably kind of run through the AAC pretty handily, I think. But they would be the obvious choice because the Sasser kids won best players in the country, man. They're just going to miss a guy like that. I think Gonzaga, you know, Auburn's probably the biggest surprise of the 10, don't you think?
Yeah, 16-1 right now.
They were picked fifth in the SEC, and they're 16-1, I think.
Yeah, 16-1 right now. Yeah, the number two team behind Gonzaga. But yeah, I think when you're looking at the preseason, you're going Auburn? No, not they're gonna be in the top. They're gonna be in the top 10, much less the top 5. The number two team in the nation. Probably not, but they've got off to a sensational start. And you look at, you know, UCLA with all the talent they have returning from last year and that deep run in the NCAA basketball tournament. I don't think that's a surprise at all. It definitely seems like the Pac-12 with the way USC's been playing, Wyatt, UCLA obviously at number 9 in the nation right now, that Pac-12, while there have been some that have not, like Oregon, that have been up and down, that they have a couple of pretty good teams, and those two teams that are with Southern Cal number 16 right now that represent the Pac-12 pretty well.
Oh, for sure. And I'm a big fan of UCLA's talent for sure. I haven't seen USC as much this year, but we know what UCLA is all about from a year ago, and they have virtually everybody back. But think about what you just said there with the with the Pac-12 and with Oregon. I mean, Oregon's, they were just kind of underwhelming everybody, right? And what a week for them. On the road, you win Thursday at UCLA and Saturday at USC. I think it shows you there's some cause to sit back and say, hey, this could be a pretty good couple of months in major college basketball.
Yeah, and Arizona number 3 right now, they've played really, really well. They had a victory against Colorado last Thursday, where the Buffs are still looking for that first that first win for Tad Boyle at the McHale Center in Arizona. Like I said, they're playing sensational basketball right now. It's the first time they've been had this high of a ranking. Why, going back to 2017, it's been that long for Arizona to be this high in the AP Top 25.
Well, I told you a couple, 2 or 3 weeks ago that I love their talent. I think Tommy Lloyd's a really, really fine coach, even though he's a head coach at this kind of level for the first time. That love their game, the way they play, their talent is very good. I don't know if you've seen much of Purdue, but they won that double overtime game in Illinois yesterday afternoon, and I think they're really fun. They shoot the ball really, really well. Just sitting here looking at the top 10, I think it would be fair to say that Wisconsin at 14-2 is a surprise too, but that they have some toughness about them, and I just think we're in for a really good ride here, man. There's a lot of fun going to be had here in the next couple months for sure, at least.
No doubt about it. Well, Wyatt, have a great call tonight, and best of luck to the Wildcats against Texas.
Thanks, partner. I appreciate it. Good talking to you, man.